Mahilig ba kayo sa jigsaw puzzle? Kung akong tatanungin nyo, I'm not good at it, kaya hindi ako mahilig. But it's a very good way of fun because besides being fun, it is sharpening to the mind. A jigsaw literally is a power tool that cuts arbitrary curves. At yung jigsaw puzzle, yan ay isang whole picture that is cut into oddly shaped and interlocking pieces. Each piece is a small part of the whole picture. At yung solution sa puzzle, yung pagbuo ng puzzle, ay makita mo yung eksaktong lugar para sa bawat pyesa for each piece. At kung magkamali ka sa kahit isa anumang piece na hindi mo mailagay sa eksaktong mga karugtong niya, ay hindi mo mabubuo yung larawan. Now, the bigger the picture, the more pieces there will be, and the harder and the more difficult it will be to solve that puzzle. Now, one book of the Bible qualifies like a jigsaw puzzle in its difficulty. In fact, so difficult it is that one writer even said it is the black sheep of the biblical canon. Yun daw ang mahirap na libro sa kasulatan. Now, as a preacher, it has been a long aspiration of mine to go through the book of Ecclesiastes, and what has deterred me always is its profundity. So, on the one hand, I'm drawn to it because it's so profound, but I'm deterred by it because exactly it is so profound. But I hope that I'm ready to do this. I still feel like constructing a puzzle with 1,000 pieces, but join me in the venture. If you put every piece in place, it will produce, I hope, a most profound picture of life. Now, pag ikaw ay naglulutas ng jigsaw puzzle, anong una mong kailangan? Ang pinakauna mong kailangan, dapat alam mo yung picture. Eh, napakahirap mag-solve ng jigsaw puzzle na hindi mo alam yung final picture. You need to know the final picture so at least you know where the pieces should be placed. Well, in the case of the book of Ecclesiastes, we need to know the final picture. What is the final picture of the writer, which is what we are trying to solve as our jigsaw puzzle in the book of Ecclesiastes? Knowing the final picture becomes the key to putting each piece in the right place and connection. So we are asking the question this Sunday and next Lord's Day, God willing, the key to interpretation. What is the key to the interpretation of this book? Because missing out on the key to the interpretation is the reason why many go haywire in the explanation of a very profound book of Ecclesiastes. So today we shall consider what the final picture ought to be, and to on the next Lord's Day, that key expression that we meet again and again, vanity of vanities, that's for next Lord's Day. We shall consider in two Lord's Days then what the key to interpretation is. I invite you to turn to the opening verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 to 3. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? So immediately we are encountering the issue of authorship. Who is speaking? And in what sense or context is the author speaking these things? Now, for many, they think the answer is a no-brainer. Para sa kanila, napakadali. Of course, it's Solomon, they say. And that is, of course, a strong contention. It still dominates the conservative view that Solomon has to be the author of Ecclesiastes. After all, who else, they say, is the son of David, king of Jerusalem? And in fact, later on, he would claim, I gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Who else is that, they say, other than Solomon? But it's not so easy. The title son of David does not necessarily mean an immediate son of David. In fact, Joseph, the father of Jesus, was called son of David. And most excellently, Jesus is called son of David. What makes this really problematic is that this writer claims to have been in the succession by implication of many predecessors. Marami siyang sinundan na nauna sa kanya na hari ng Jerusalem. Listen to chapter 2 verse 9. I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Now, would this be a sentence that fits Solomon, considering Solomon was pang-ilang hari si Solomon? Pangatlo, after Saul and David. And in fact, in the description of Saul, of the writer, of his predecessors, he spoke of their abuses. Now, of Saul and David, David is lifted up in the Old Testament as the ideal king. Siya yung dapat sundan ng iba mga hari. Eh, pero ang sinasabi ng writer dito, yung mga sinundan niya ay nakita niya yung kanilang mga abuso sa kapangyarihan. And it doesn't seem to fit Solomon, because in the case of Solomon, such a regime of abuse would probably fit Saul, but definitely not David. And yet, the writer is speaking of predecessors whose regime was marked with abuses from which he learned. He testifies as an eyewitness of the folly and abuses of power. Now, so who is this? Well, it could be Solomon, yes, but there is a probability of someone later than Solomon but who adopted Solomon's identity. Ginagawa po ito ng mga nagsusulat ng mga libro noon na maari silang magsulat pero nag-a-adapt sila ng pangalan o yung pagkakakilanlan ng iba at kanilang tinitingnan yung buhay nila at pagkatapos ito ang ginagawa nilang pinaka identity ng kanilang pagsusulat, and that is a possibility. In fact, I lean on that. But then, let me say that more than the exact identity of the writer, one key to the interpretation of Ecclesiastes is the title he adopts, Ecclesiastes. Now, some take this as a proper name, and so if you will read some commentaries, you will note these commentaries talking of the author by the name Koheleth. And Koheleth is the Hebrew name of the book of Ecclesiastes. Kaya sa kanila, siguro ang taong ito ay tawagin natin Koheleth. Well, that is one possible alternative. But again, given the fact that an article is used many times of Ecclesiastes, I prefer to believe that this is a function rather than a proper name. And as a function, what is Ecclesiastes? All scholars agree that this is one who addresses an assembly. And I accept the translation, preacher. At the outset then, the book identifies itself as the words of the preacher. Ecclesiastes, to many, the reason why they go haywire is they think these are reflections of a philosopher. Or these are the reflections of a cynic. Well, I have come to believe that this is preached word. Ito ay pinapangaral na salita ng Diyos sa konteksto ng isang pagtitipon. And this is one important key. Another important key is the classification of literature of Ecclesiastes. It belongs to that class of literature we call genre, a class of literature known as wisdom. That includes Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. This is wisdom books. Tayong mga sa Pilipino, sa panitika natin, meron tayong sariling mga class of literature. Pag sinabi mong balagtasan, ayan ay palitan ng mga tula. Pag sinabi mong moro-moro, ayan ay dula na ang laman, ay palaging panalo yung Kristiyano sa Muslim, sa mga moro. Kaya moro-moro. Yan yung mga class of literature. Etong Ecclesiastes ay wisdom literature. It belongs to that class of books in the Old Testament whose main thrust and theme is wisdom. O pagsamahin natin ito, this is preached word, this is about wisdom. My message as a key to interpretation is the preached word is for wisdom in an earthly life of sorrow. If there is one final picture we're trying to construct, it is this picture. We are to put the pieces together The picture is preaching in an assembly of men and women, and those men and women have their bouts of sorrow in this life, and they are sitting down trying to absorb wisdom from the preacher. This is the final picture. You know what I am thinking? The picture is no different from what you and I are right now doing. An assembly where there is the preaching of the word, and each of you may have your hidden sorrows and bouts with gloom, and you're trying to absorb the preached word, and the preached word is exactly for wisdom. Let me break the message into two propositions that will open this book for us. First proposition, this earthly life is pervaded with sorrow. Ang buhay natin sa mundo ay puno ng kapanglawan. This earthly life is pervaded with sorrow. And my second proposition, the preached word is intended for wisdom. Ang pinapangaral na salita ay para sa karunungan. So this then is the final picture. It is a preached word intended for wisdom to men and women who have their bouts of sorrow. The first proposition then, this earthly life is pervaded with sorrow. Sorrow is one repeated word in the book of Ecclesiastes. And even if the word is not used, the atmosphere is many times one of gloom. Kapanglawan, ang parang namamayani na diwa dito sa Ecclesiastes. Kabigatan ng loob, kalungkutan. Parang yung nagsusulat nito yung taong depressed. At isa ito sa nangyayari na palaisipan para sa marami ito. And the peculiar expression this writer uses for the earthly life is that it is under the sun. There are sorrows under the sun. And the writer is on a quest for answer to the pervasive reality of sorrow and gloom. Naghahanap siya ng sagot dito sa kalagayan sa mundo ng kapanglawan, panlulumo, kabigatan. At alam niyo ang kanyang magiging sagot? There is no ultimate earthly answer to earthly sorrows. Unless we arrive to that point, we have missed Ecclesiastes. He will make a quest. At yung tamang pag-aaral ng Ecclesiastes, parang sinasamahan mo yung may akda sa kanyang paghahanap, sa sagot, sa kapanglawan na nakikita niya sa mundo. And in our series, we will join him in that quest. He will try wealth. He will try mirth or pleasure. And then he will try knowledge and wisdom. And each quest ends with disappointment. It leads into this refrain in the book, vanity. Vanity of vanities. And I believe that this also is one key to interpretation. Titingnan natin yan next week. But what makes Ecclesiastes a very difficult book is the apparent confusion of the writer, and there are contradictions, apparent contradictions in his statements. There are statements that will mystify you. Statements that you would not expect a man of God to even utter. Consider chapter 2, verse 24. He said, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink." I mean, would a believer ever say that? Sasabihin ba ng isang mananampalataya, ito na lang pinakamabuting gawin, kumain at uminom. At yan ang kanyang sinabi. Now you see, one way to understand this author is join him in his seeking expedition, kumbaga, he's looking for answers to life's sorrows. And then when he comes to a possible answer, he will draw observations. He will make tentative conclusions. Sometimes, he makes insights of wisdom. At other times, he simply leaves the question hanging and moves on. Now, the difficulty is going to be like this. The interpreter has to decide when the statement is wisdom, when it is a tentative conclusion, or just plain observation. At dyan po nagkakatalo-talo, dyan nagkakaduling-duling yung mga interpreters. Ano ba ito? Ito ba'y pangungusap ng karunungan? Ito ba'y tentative conclusion? Ito ba'y observation lamang ng writer? Well, we will try to do that as we go along, but I'm trying to describe why this is so difficult for many. But let me say that we will not be far from the right answer if we stick to this important observation. There's sorrow on earth. Now, you may say, of course, we know that. Ecclesiastes was not the first nor the last to make that observation. Philosophies and religions are all observing the facts of sorrow. Buddhism, for example, begins with its four noble truths, and its first truth is that life is suffering. Ayan ang Buddhism. At maraming reliyon ang talagang kumikilala na ang buhay sa mundo ay puno ng kapanglawan. What sets Ecclesiastes apart is that it admits what others would not, that there is no earthly answer. And for this reason, many have called Ecclesiastes a pessimist. Yung mga taong wala nang makitang mabuti, tinatawag na pessimistic or even cynical. Kumbaga, sumuko na siya sa buhay, wala nang pag-asa. They call him a teacher of hopelessness. I prefer to call him a disturbing realist. Nakakagambala sa atin, but he is a realist. His observations are calculated to disturb those who hope for answers to earthly sorrows in earthly things. He is someone such people would not want to hear. And if I'm speaking to anyone here who probably orients your life to something earthly as the final answer to things in the world, perhaps you're hoping to be wealthy, you're hoping to be famous, powerful, or whatever it is you think is the answer to life's sorrows, you are on a quest of illusion. And that's what Ecclesiastes is going to tell us, that no matter what probable answer you come up with, it fails you. You find yourself shortchanged by any alternative on earth. All that the writer will tell you is that these answers are either fake or short-lived. They are not lasting answers. And my prayer in this series is that it will disturb people enough if you are one of those who seek answer in this world. Kung isa kang taong ang hinahanap mo sa buhay ay itong mga bagay na sinubok na ng may akda, sinubok na niya ang kayamanan, naging isa siya sa pinakamayaman, sinubok na niya ang kalayawan, at lahat ng gustuhin daw niya, anumang sandali makukuha niya, ito man ay musika, ito man ay mga gimmick parties, lahat ng magustuhan niya ay magagawa niya. At sa kahulihan, sinubok niya ang karunungan. At hindi ba't yan din ang mga alternatibo ngayon ng mga tao para sa kanilang pag-aakala, ito ang sagot sa buhay sa mundo. Kapag meron ako nito, ay masaya na yung aking buhay. At ang sasabihin muli-muli ng Ecclesiastes ay ito ay hindi totoo. You may find something in your life that you feel is the niche to make it happy, whether that's position, wealth. Ecclesiastes has a peculiar expression for that illusion. It is in the old translation of the old King James, vexation of the spirit. And scholars have realized that it is actually talking of the better translation, chasing after the wind, grasping for the wind. And so it will prove to you, my friend. If you think life is in becoming rich, becoming famous, becoming powerful, it will prove to you a grasping for the wind. Parang katulad ng morphine. Alam niyo, morphine ay malakas yung kanyang analgesic effect, pain reliever. And yet it is also very addicting. At isang dahilan kaya ito tinawag na morphine is from the Greek god of Morpheus. Morpheus is the Greek god of dreams. And that's what earthly answers will prove to you. For some time, it seems being rich answers so many things. Perhaps being famous or being powerful. It answers so many things. Look at the many young people who would rather waste their youth on the quest to becoming the next big star or the next idol or the next famous person in the world. And it will prove to be just a dream. Instead of deluding yourself, sit under the feet of this preacher, Ecclesiastes, and accept his conclusion. And my challenge to us, as we try to draw the message of this book, we need honesty, we need sensitivity to sorrows in us and around us. Kung magagamit natin ng tama itong Ecclesiastes, isang hamon dito sa atin, ay ang magkaroon tayo ng katapatan at pagkasensitibo sa kapanglawan na nasa atin at nasa paligid natin. I say sorrows in us. Remember, if this is Solomon or a writer later than Solomon but adopting the identity of Solomon, this man has gone through life's sorrows. And now in Ecclesiastes, he's making confession of that. He's sensitive to his own sorrows, and you and I need to be. There are those who like to give the picture of strength, which is often misunderstood to mean invulnerability, that you're not affected by sorrows in life. And you may give in to these myths like true men don't cry, and such other things. And that very vaunted strength becomes your weakness. It is seen in many people who may have this vaunted strength, but they cannot sympathize. They are so insensitive. They cannot weep with those who weep. I am thankful that Jonathan Edwards decided to publish the diaries of David Brainerd against his wishes. And for that, the church is even richer when they read the struggles of David Brainerd. Without those diaries, you would have thought of David Brainerd simply as that giant of a saint. But with his diaries published, you see a man who struggled mentally, spiritually. And now you know his sorrows. He was sensitive to his sorrows. And one pathway to maturity for the Christian is sensitivity to your sorrows. Be honest about them. Don't prefer vaunted strength. And sorrows around us. Just this week, 228 people boarded Air France Flight 447. In Rio de Janeiro. All of them hoping to land in Paris. Some of them perhaps looking forward to reunion with family. Others perhaps to a connecting flight that will take them to other places in the world. There was one fellow Filipino on official business trip. Whatever their plans were, nobody thought of ending up in the watery graves of the Atlantic. Sorrow. Sorrow for the families left behind. And this is one thing that the writer observes again and again. Sorrow hits everyone. Sorrow hits people of all classes. No one is spared. It happens everywhere. It happens, for example, to the intellectual. 1:18, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Sorrow happens in the laboratory. It happens in the academe. It happens in the library of books. But sorrow also happens to the manual laborer. Listen to 2:22 and 23. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? All his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Sorrow happens to the manual laborer. Nangyayari ang kapanglawan sa pahinante, sa arawang sahod, sa labandera, sa karpintero. Nangyayari ang kapanglawan sa lahat ng antas sa lahat ng lugar. And what that means to us is we should be sensitive. We should learn honesty and sensitivity to the sorrows around us. And Christians should be the best prepared to handle sorrow. Not that I'm saying every Christian is well prepared, but every Christian should truly be prepared. Why? Because of him who took the title, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in our Lord's Supper tonight, we shall be commemorating the act of the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and because of him, you and I need not be spared from sorrow, but you and I should be prepared to handle it. Kung may kausap ako rito na ikaw ngayon ay nasa gitna ng kapanglawan, ano man ang kadahilanan, isang katotohanan ito na dapat nating tanggapin. There is so much today that I call plastic Christianity. They force the appearance of excessive happiness. And this is why I protest against any form of worship that will force people to dance, force people to jump, force people to express giddiness, even though the heart is sorrowful. That's just plastic and artificial. The right form of worship is that which can have common denominator for everyone. It can be for the happy, it can be for the sorrowful. And whatever it is you're sorrowful over, this is the message of Ecclesiastes. It's like the preacher from his pulpit is telling his audience, I know about it. I know about sorrow. You're not abnormal. It hits everybody. And so handle your sorrows honestly. Be sensitive to others' sorrow sympathetically. I come to my second proposition. The preached word is intended for wisdom. Again, Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book, meaning its main theme is wisdom in life, and the medium is preaching. But here is something that sets it apart from other wisdom books. The word wisdom occurs 28 times. It's no less than 28 times in Ecclesiastes, and that makes it obviously a major issue. But what makes it unique is that his statements on wisdom are mixed. Sometimes negative, sometimes positive. Now, that never happens in other wisdom books. In other wisdom books, it's always positive. In Ecclesiastes, it's mixed. He makes negative statements and positive statements. And what does that tell us? Well, it simply tells us this. There is wisdom that is used only for an earthly goal, and there is wisdom with godly fear. Now, when we say wisdom, it may mean knowledge in the general sense, or in a special usage, it is knowledge of God and His Word. Now listen to me here. One can have such knowledge. One can have such knowledge of God and His Word, and yet still be no different from the fool. Turn to chapter 2, verses 12 and following. Listen to the statements of Ecclesiastes on this kind of wisdom. Chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Unless we understand that what the writer is trying to say is that one can have wisdom and yet use it for an earthly goal, we will be puzzled by his statements on wisdom. And yet that is the truth. One can have wisdom that excels the foolish, and yet because of a merely earthly goal, it goes to waste. You know what that is like? It is like those who listen to the wisdom of the preached word, but after this, they will live no differently than those who have no Bible knowledge to begin with.
Matutulad ito sa mga tao na nakikinig ng pangangaral ng salita ng Diyos at sa gayong bagay ay nakalalamang sila sa mga walang pakikinig, ngunit sa kanilang buhay, hindi sila naiiba doon sa mga taong walang naririnig na pangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. And in that sense, they have wisdom, they excel the foolish who have no wisdom, and yet they will die like the fool.
A life focused on earth. They live like there is no eternity. They know wisdom, but they live for wealth, for mirth, and for the earth.
It would be instructive to compare how wisdom is defined in the other wisdom books. Listen to Job 28:28. Behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Listen to the same statement of Psalm 111:10 and Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see how wisdom is connected to the fear of the Lord. And wisdom that is not connected to the fear of the Lord will go to waste. Is there anything equivalent in Ecclesiastes? Well, not in exact words, but the same substance. 8:12-13. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. And towards the end of Ecclesiastes, you listen to his conclusion in 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. And so the conclusion of the final picture of Ecclesiastes is clear. This is a preached word, and the challenge to us is let us hear the word so that we may keep it in the real situations of life. For that is true wisdom. One can have wisdom of mere knowledge of the word and no application to life. And that is one of the saddest observations of the writer in this book. 8:10, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness. Nakita niya ang masama na inilibing at alam niya na ang masama na yun ay nagparoot pa rito sa dako ng kabanalan. In other words, as a preacher, he was noting in his diary perhaps, in his journal, what he has witnessed. He saw that man attend the assembly of service. He saw that man again and again listen to the word of God. And then finally that man is going to be buried. But never did that man ever come to Christ, to the gospel. And am I speaking to anyone who is such today? That you have gone to the holy place again and again. You have listened to the word of God. You know it perhaps from beginning to end. You know the gospel story. You know the life of Jesus. And yet the one thing that you have never done is come to Christ and plead to Him for salvation. And would you be like this man? The writer says he's so buried. And buried a wicked man without salvation. Well, let us be careful, brethren. Wisdom means you will not make the word a mere academic knowledge. Let it bear on life. Of course, towards the end, you're asking the question, what about sorrow? Is there an answer to sorrow? We listen to him, and we will all the more hihimayin pa natin ito sa mga susunod. But if there is a surprising answer, he said in chapter 7, verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. Instead of providing an answer to sorrow, the writer says, there is wisdom in sorrow. Sorrow, in that sense, is better than laughter. Few of us will have to bear the heaviness of sorrow that Elizabeth Elliot had to bear. Elizabeth Elliot was the wife of Jim Elliot.
The man who committed all his life to become a missionary to the Oca Indians of Ecuador. And when he has finally achieved his dream, together with other men, visited the colony of the Oca Indians in Ecuador, on their first Lord's Day, they were all slain, all killed. Did not even get 1 week of what he has prepared for so many years. And Elizabeth Elliot, the grieving wife, what would you expect of her? For many, they would probably just curse these Indians to hell. Well, she did not. She substituted for her husband. And I just saw an old film where one of the surprising scenes is Elizabeth Elliot having fellowship with the murderers of her husband, now converted. A sorrow that is turned into wisdom. Sorrow that is able to reach out to those who also are in sorrow. That is the final picture we're trying to construct of Ecclesiastes. Whatever we understand and however we understand Ecclesiastes, it is a preached word for those in sorrow. And the question that comes back to us is, we have just gone through a part of the Ecclesiastes experience. You have heard preaching. You are in a bout of sorrow in your life. And the question is, will there be wisdom for you? Let us sing our last hymn. Lead us, O Father, in the paths of peace. Without thy guiding hand, we go astray. And doubts appall and sorrows still increase. Lead us through Christ, the true and living way. May we accept the fact of sorrow in our earthly life, but with that sorrow there can be wisdom if we apply the preached word. Let's close in prayer. Maraming salamat, Panginoon, na sa iyong dakilang karunungan at providensya ay isinama mo sa Biblia ang aklat ng Ecclesiastes. Kinikilala namin ang banal na Espiritu pa rin ang siyang kumasin ito, nagbigay ng liwanag sa nagsulat. At bagamat hindi namin siya lubos na makilala, ay maaari kaming magkaroon ng susi sa pagkaunawa ng Ecclesiastes, sapagkat narito ang isang pangangaral ng iyong salita na ang layunin ay magbigay ng karunungan para sa mga may kapanglawan dito sa buhay sa mundo. At ito nga nawa ang mangyari sa amin, na sa aming pakikinig ng iyong salita ay magkaroon kami ng sagot sa mga kapanglawan namin, hindi sagot na galing sa mga bagay ng mundo, sapagkat ito ang karunungan na ibinahagi ng Ecclesiastes, walang sagot na narito sa mundo. At anumang ipilit naming pangmundong kasagutan ay magiging isa lamang ilusyon, isang panaginip. And so we pray, Lord, for understanding, that we may accept the reality that this earthly life is pervaded with sorrow. It happens to all. Nobody is spared. It happens to the intellectual in his laboratory, library. It happens to manual laborers. It happens to each one. And if there is anyone here who, because of sorrow, probably is provoked to complain, maybe to rebel, let this come as a correction, that nobody is spared from the sorrow of this world. And we need to accept that there is no answer that is earthly to the sorrows of this world. And yet, we are provided with your word. And every time your word is open to us in the preaching of that word, may we gain wisdom. And yet, as this writer warns us, there can be wisdom that is not joined to godly fear. There can be wisdom of mere academic knowledge, and that will only make us like the fool. Speak to those who have heard the word of wisdom again and again. And oh, may they not be like that wicked man Ecclesiastes describes, whom he has seen buried as wicked as he had lived, and yet one was gone again and again to the place of holiness. So speak to those here who are in that situation of having heard, still have not come to the gospel. And for those of us whom you have blessed with faith, help us that our hearing of the word will not go to waste by simply accumulating head knowledge of it without application. Make us, as wisdom is defined in the wisdom books, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. So help us, Lord, to know that life that is focused upon and pervaded with the presence of God. Even as we prepare for the Lord's Supper tonight, we remember the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who because of his sacrifice, we can stand above our sorrows so that we can even say, sorrow is better than laughter. May we learn wisdom even tonight. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.